All right, let's dive into something that's got me really curious. Bone grafts in dentistry. Specifically, we're talking allografts today. It's pretty wild to think that sometimes the solution to rebuilding bone is to basically, well, borrow some.
It's true, and it's a fascinating area. Bone grafts are often used after tooth loss, maybe gum disease, things like that, to rebuild that jawbone. Today, we're really going to get into what allografts are and how they work.
Okay, so let's unpack this whole borrowing thing. When we say allograft, what are we even talking about?
An allograft is a bone graft, right? But it comes from a donor. It's not using your own bone.
So it's got bone bank.
Yeah, you can think of it like that.
No.
But it's carefully screened, processed, very safe and effective.
A bone bank, huh? Never thought I'd say that. So walk me through this. Why would someone opt for donor bone instead of their own? What's the advantage there?
It really comes down to minimizing any complications and really improving outcomes. Using an allograft can actually mean a less invasive procedure for the patient because you don't have to harvest bone from somewhere else in their body.
So less pain, faster recovery. Got it.
Yeah.
But I gotta ask, using bone from someone else, it sounds a little intense, to be honest. How do we know it's safe?
Well, that's where that rigorous screening and processing comes in. First and foremost, those donors are so carefully chosen, and there's a very strict time frame for even recovering that bone after they've passed, just to minimize any risk.
So they don't just take any bone. What goes into that screening process?
It's very comprehensive. We're talking full medical and social history reviews. They do thorough testing for any infectious diseases, things like HIV, hepatitis, and the FDA, the American Association of Tissue Banks, they all have super stringent standards in place to make sure it's safe.
Okay, that's good to know. Those are some serious precautions.
Yeah.
But even with all that, we're still talking about, bone from someone who's, well, not with us anymore. What do they do to the bone to make sure it's, like, okay to use in someone else?
So it's a multi-step process. It involves sterilization, really meticulous sterilization. It's like a clean room environment, very strict procedures, lots of tests, microbiological tests. And only if it passes all of those with flying colors is it even considered for processing.
Wow. Talk about a rigorous screening process. So once a bone gets the green light, then what? How do you go from a bone to a bone graft that's ready for a dental procedure? What is this processing stage?
It's a really good question. And there are a few different techniques. They each have their own pros and cons, of course. So one method is actually freezing. Now, before you picture like popping a bone in the freezer with last night's leftovers.
I won't lie. That was my first thought.
Freezing for bone grafts, it's a bit more complex than that. This is mainly used for really specific situations in dentistry. Things like maybe jaw joint transplants, where preserving the cartilage is super important. For your more common dental bone grafts, freeze drying is really the star of the show.
Freeze drying. So we're not talking about just your average freezer here.
No, not at all. Freeze drying is really interesting, actually. It removes the water from the bone while it's frozen. And that preserves the structure and actually makes it less likely to be rejected by the bottle.
Okay, I'm following so far. But how do you remove water from something that's frozen solid? Explain this freeze drying thing.
It's pretty amazing. So basically, you very carefully control the temperature and pressure around the frozen bone, right? And that causes the ice to go straight from being solid to vapor. It skips the whole liquid stage.
It's like a high-tech evaporation thing, no soggy bones.
Precisely. And it's such a game changer because it really preserves all those little nooks and crannies of the bone, and it significantly reduces the antigenicity.
Hold on, antigenicity. Remind me what that is in the context of a bone graft.
So antigenicity basically means how likely your body is to reject that graft. So by reducing the antigenicity, we're minimizing the chances of your body saying, "Hey, this thing doesn't belong here."
So it's like giving the bone a disguise to get past security.
That's a great way to put it. But freeze drying isn't the only method out there for sterilizing these bone grafts. We've also got chemical sterilization, things like irradiation.
Irradiation. Like with radiation, that sounds kind of intense. Is that safe?
It's a very common sterilization method, and it is safe when it's done correctly. And irradiation, it really effectively eliminates those potential contaminants. But there is ongoing research into how it potentially impacts the bone strength and its ability to stimulate new bone growth. It's a bit of a balancing act.
So it's not just a matter of nuking until it's clean.
Not quite. While it definitely has its place, gotta consider the potential downsides. That's where ethylene oxide sterilization, or ETO, comes into play.
Okay, what's the story with ETO? Is this like the gentler approach?
You could say that. It's a gas, and it's really good at wiping out bacteria and viruses. But there have been some concerns about potential toxicity from any residue left behind after the process.
So it's like using a really powerful disinfectant. Works great, but got to make sure it's really gone afterward.
Exactly. And because of that, the use of ETO for bone grafts has actually declined recently. So again, it's all about finding that balance, right? Effectiveness and safety.
Wow, who knew there was so much science behind preparing these grafts so there's a whole hidden world? But I gotta ask, are there different types of bone grafts? I mean, it can't all be about filling in tiny holes, right?
You are way ahead of me. You're absolutely right. So there are two main types that we use in dentistry: particulate bone grafts and structural bone grafts. You can almost think of particulate grafts like bone gravel, often used to fill in those gaps or defects in your existing bone.
Okay, bone gravel. I like that. What about the structural ones? Those sound a little more heavy duty.
They are. Structural grafts are the larger pieces of bone, and they're really used to reconstruct bigger defects. They act like a framework for your body to build new bone on.
So if you need to rebuild like a whole section of jawbone, that's when you'd break out the structural graft. It's like the scaffolding.
You got it. It's all about choosing the right type of graft for the job.
This is fascinating stuff. It's amazing how much goes into something that seems so simple as a bone graft.
Absolutely. And it gets even more interesting when we start to get into the world of demineralized bone and all the hype around DBM.
Demineralized. Okay, now you're just making things up. What is
Yeah.
that?
No, I promise it's a real thing. So bone, it's not just a hard structure, you know. It's got these proteins and growth factors that can actually stimulate new bone to form.
So bone is like its own little growth factory.
Exactly. And when we talk about demineralized bone, we're talking about bone that's been processed to kind of concentrate those growth factors.
So it's like getting the essence of what makes bone grow.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay, and DBM, that's just a super concentrated version of that.
Exactly. DBM, demineralized bone matrix, it's had almost all the mineral content removed, so you're left with this like paste or putty that's just packed with those growth factors.
So it's like the superhero of bone grafts.
Yeah.
Right. But you said hype earlier. Is it really all it's cracked up to be?
It has a lot of potential, for sure. But, you know, like any superhero, it's got its limitations. So DBM is really known for being able to directly stimulate new bone growth. But other types of grafts can actually do that too, just maybe not as, I don't know, powerfully.
So it's a great tool to have, but not necessarily a magic bullet. Are there certain situations where you'd choose DBM over other types?
Absolutely. It really often depends on like the size of the bone defect, what type of defect it is, and then there's also something called partially decalcified bone, which still has some of that mineral content, and that can be really helpful in certain cases too.
This is a lot. It sounds like choosing the right bone graft, it's kind of a big deal.
It is, and that's why having, you know, that open communication with your dentist is super important. They can really assess what you need as an individual and recommend the best option for you.
Right. Personalized care. That makes sense. So it's not just picking something off a shelf. There's a thought process behind it.
Exactly. And speaking of things that might surprise you, there's another aspect of bone graft processing that often causes some confusion.
Oh, what's that?
Bleaching.
Bleaching, like what we do to our teeth. We're talking pearly white bone grafts now.
You got it. But here's the thing. The whiteness of a bone graft doesn't necessarily mean that it's higher quality or more effective.
Hold on. Are you saying that some companies might be trying to make bone grafts look more appealing, even if it doesn't really matter?
It's definitely something to be aware of. Bleaching is mostly for aesthetics.
Mm.
And while sure, it might make the graft look cleaner,
Yeah.
you know, to the eye, it doesn't mean it's going to heal better.
Wow. Okay, good to know. So what should people be asking their dentists about when it comes to bone grafts? If bleaching isn't important, what is?
Asking about the source of the allograft, for sure. How it was processed, what type of graft it is. Those are all great starting points. Don't be afraid to ask very specific questions about the graft your dentist recommends.
Right. Be an informed patient. Understand what's going into your body.
Exactly. I always say knowledge is power, and especially when it comes to your health.
I love that. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here today. We've talked about how these allografts are screened, how they're processed. We even debunked a myth or two along the way. But for someone who's maybe facing a dental procedure that involves a bone graft, what's the one thing you want them to remember from all of this?
Honestly, I think the biggest takeaway here is that when it comes to bone grafts, there's no one size fits all. You know, every single patient is different. Every dental procedure is different.
So what works for one person's smile might not work for another.
You got it. And that's exactly why that conversation with your dentist is so important. Ask those questions, understand your options, really get into the nitty-gritty of the bone graft itself.
So it's like being a detective for your own, you know, dental health.
I love that analogy. That's exactly it. Knowledge is power, and when it's your health, you deserve to be informed.
Well said. This has been really eye-opening, this whole deep dive into bone allografts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've learned so much, and I bet our listeners feel the same way. But before we go, gotta ask, what does the future hold for bone grafting? Are we talking growing bones in labs someday?
It's not as sci-fi as it sounds. Regenerative medicine, it's making incredible strides. Like, we're seeing breakthroughs with stem cells and biomaterials that could totally change how we think about bone grafting.
So the future of bone grafting could be even more amazing than what we're doing now. That's wild.
It really is. But that's the beauty of science, right? It keeps pushing those boundaries.
Makes you wonder what other discoveries are out there. Well, on that note of exciting possibilities, we're going to wrap up this deep dive into bone allografts. Huge thank you to our expert for joining us today and sharing all this incredible knowledge.
It's been my pleasure. Really, it was a great conversation.
And to our amazing listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey. Remember, curiosity is key, so keep those questions coming. And until next time, happy exploring.